Have you ever heard of a thin space? Does anyone know what a thin space is? A thin space is a moment in time when the space between heaven and earth, when the space between God and us is so thin that we feel God's presence surrounding us. A thin space is a space where the distance between us and God is very, very thin, and we find ourselves filled with God's joy and God's peace and God's grace. Sometimes people talk about finding themselves in a thin space when they're standing in a holy place. People who have walked the way of the cross in Jerusalem, people who have stood in the grotto at Lourdes. I read a story this week about a young man who was standing in the town square of Assisi, where St. Francis had thrown off his wealthy clothing and rebelled against his father. And the man talked about feeling God's presence near him in that moment. But thin spaces can happen in all kinds of non-holy places too. Sometimes people feel God's presence at the top of a mountain after a long hike. I have a friend who experiences them often when he's surfing in the ocean. And another friend who talks about feeling God present when he's diving, when he's under the water. A thin space can happen in your home or in this building. A thin space can happen anywhere because God is everywhere. In our gospel reading today, the disciples, Peter, James, and John, find themselves in a thin space, in a space where the distance between them and God is so thin that they are filled with God's grace and joy and peace. Jesus takes them up on the mountain, and in front of them, Jesus is transfigured. His face shines like the sun, and his clothes are dazzling white. And they see him talking to Moses and Elijah. And again, we hear God's voice say, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." The disciples are in a thin space. Now, there's a lot we could say about the transfiguration of Jesus. We could talk about the disciples being able to see Jesus as who he really is. We can talk about how Jesus being with Moses and Elijah sets up Jesus to be another rock star in God's saving plan for the world. We could talk about the significance of Jesus, of God's voice saying the same thing at Jesus' baptism and the transfiguration. But we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the disciples. As the disciples are watching this, Peter says to Jesus, "It's good that we're here. If you want, I'll make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Peter wants to make three dwellings. And in some translations, the word is booths, three booths. And in some translations, it's tents, three tents. And scholars don't really know what Peter was trying to do there. Was Peter trying to make a tent like the tent that used to be where God dwelled in the midst of the Hebrews when they were traveling? Did Peter want Jesus and Moses and Elijah to leave their spirits in the tent so he could come back to visit them? Did Peter want to build three tents so that they could live in them and stay on the mountain? We don't really know. But what I take from that is that Peter wanted to extend the time of that thin space. Peter didn't want to leave the thin space. Either Peter wanted to stay in it forever, or Peter wanted to create a way to come back to it whenever he wanted to. But Peter wanted that thin space to continue. And I don't blame him. When I find myself in a thin space, I do everything I can to make that happen. And for Peter and James and John, I'm sure that it was even more important to them. In the passage just before this, Jesus had explained to them that he was on his way to Jerusalem to suffer and die. and in the same breath told them that they would have to take up their crosses and lose their lives too. If I was Peter, I'd be looking for a way to stay on the mountain. But Jesus doesn't let them stay on the mountain. Jesus brings them back down. And Jesus brings them back down because there is work to be done. There is work to be done. In this season of Epiphany, we have been listening to Jesus preach the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' dissertation on what it means to be a disciple. Jesus begins the Sermon on the Mount with the Beatitudes. Blessed are you. Jesus tells his disciple that the first step towards discipleship is knowing that you are blessed. Jesus goes on to tell them that they are a light to the world, that they are a lamp that should not be under a bushel, but on a lampstand, so that everyone can see God's light. Jesus continues by telling them what it means to be in community with one another, what it means to love those around you, not just those you already love, but how to love your enemies. And all of the Sermon on the Mount can be summed up in the one phrase that we didn't get to read because we ran out of Epiphany Sundays. But all of the Sermon on the Mount can be summed up in the verse, "Do unto others as you would have them do to you." This is all of the law and the prophets. Jesus brought the disciples down from the mountain because there is work to do. There is work to do in our communities. There is work to do caring for one another. There is work to do in shining God's light from the top of the lampstand. There is work to do in reconciling this broken world back to God. That's why God brings us out of the thin spaces too. I know that when I'm in here worshiping on Sunday and the band is on fire and my arms are in the air and my daughter won't be anywhere near me because I'm dancing and singing off key, that I am in a thin space. I'm in a place where God's presence is so near and so full, I don't want to leave. But then I remember why we do. We leave because of our baptismal vows. We baptized Margaret at the 9 o'clock service this morning. And in doing so, we recommitted ourselves to those vows. We promised again that we would proclaim by word and example the good news of the gospel in Jesus Christ. We promised that we would seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving our neighbors as ourselves. We promised that we would strive for justice and peace among all people, upholding everyone's dignity. There is hard work to be done. I mean, how often do you think about that? How often do you think about when you're driving down the freeway that you are proclaiming by example the good news of Jesus Christ in what you are doing behind the wheel of your car? How often do you think about when you're talking to that customer service rep who isn't giving you what you need, that you are proclaiming by word the good news of Jesus Christ in that moment, in that place, in that time? How often do you think about seeking and serving Christ in every person you meet, in the checker at Safeway who's going too slow, and the barista who screwed up your coffee order, and that neighbor down the street from you who will not take his trash cans in more than 2 days after the trash has been taken away? How often do you think about seeking and serving Christ in that homeless man who is sitting in front of Walgreens? How often do you think about striving for justice and peace for all people? For our Jewish friends whose synagogues are being threatened. For that Pakistani man who got killed this week as somebody shouted at him to leave our country. How do we strive for justice and peace for those people? There is hard work for us to do. Thank God for the thin spaces. Thank God for the moments when we can feel God so near us that we are filled with God's joy and God's grace and God's peace and God's love. Thank God for the thin spaces where God's Spirit fills us so that we can step down off that mountain and do the hard work of the gospel. Amen.